Hello and welcome to the Philip Carter Show. I'm your host, whose name done what being the thing. And today we're talking to Nicola Rossi, the author of Rockstar Ending and several other cool books, which we'll get to in the next few minutes. Now, in Rockstar Ending, the protagonist Lexi discovers that older people are being genocided by stealth. Now, I love that because I love a dark opening to a podcast, as everybody knows. I just want to ask you, Nicola, straight off the bat, what inspired such a dark storyline?
Oh, got loads of things really. Some of it was hearing friends of mine say, "Oh, well, my elderly parent, they're not very well, and looking after them, watching them deteriorate is terrible. So I've written a letter for my child so that they will know that they can do that." So that kind of got me thinking about people's end of life wishes. But then I started thinking about really manipulation and how people might be coerced into making that decision in a way that is really quite sinister.
I mean, I obviously my listeners know I'm no stranger to dark subjects, so I find that fascinating, just being able to go there and write that. Did you have any issues when you started writing the book with like the topic or maybe research, or how did you go about, plotting something that's so, I don't want to say controversial because everybody's aware of that kind of thing. I mean, to be
It could
fair,
be triggering. I did worry about that. I did really worry that, people would find it too distressing. And it's quite a funny book, and people say to me, how it's really quite skillful the way that you manage to bring subtle humor to such a dark subject. And I did make sure that I read the Samaritan's guidelines because I didn't want to be causing people to think that it might be a good option for them. So I did do that research quite thoroughly, but also I've studied the digital environment quite a lot. I've been very interested in it since I kind of worked on early internet applications when people used Netscape, which most people can't even remember now. So I've been interested in how that's unfolded. And then I did some postgraduate studies. I don't want to put people off. It's not an academic book. But that just gave was a little present to myself to allow me kind of 6 months to really immerse myself in what was really going on. In terms of kind of manipulation and I looked at all sorts of odd things, like Facebook safety check. Why were people using that? How many people used it in an area where, well, actually more people seem to use it in around the Nepal earthquake than actually lived in the area at the time. So I was looking at that kind of thing. So I did some academic research, but I also kind of looked at what was going on around me, particularly things like the assisted dying debate that was going on in, well, it still goes on now here and, has reached, I think, quite a scary place in places like Canada and the Netherlands and Belgium.
Oh yeah, it's just a terrifying thing in Canada. Like I've heard there's some people that, they were unable to get a job, they were unable to get government assistance, and basically unable to get on their version of job seekers allowance, and the government was like, "Oh, we could kill you if you want." And it's, I mean, like I'm being flippant about it, but that's basically the letters that are being sent out to people, and it's really worrying. So it's great that you're covering a subject like this, eerily prophetic as well. I think it's a really good it's a good topic to base a book on, and I really like that you've got a sense of humor about it as well, because I think that's sorely missing in a lot of discourse about like darker subjects or harder stuff in books. If I find that, like, as a reader, if a book takes itself a little too seriously, you've got the dark topic and then you've got the seriousness, and it gets really monotonal, and that's why a lot of people switch off these sorts of topics. But if the book itself is interesting, which we know it is, then you can bring the bigger topics in, and readers will go, "Oh yeah, this is cool. This is a bigger topic. This is part of the story," rather than it being topic and then maybe some story happens. You've got a story which is
It's very
basically,
much character-driven fiction with an issue in it, not the other way around.
That's a good, I'm really glad you said that because that's the angle I was going towards. Because my next question, guess what? Surprise, was who's your favorite character?
Oh, that's so difficult.
I know that's why I put it
Probably,
in.
probably Bob.
Okay.
Probably Bob. So for people who don't know the book, so the heroine essentially is Lexi, who's a teacher in her 40s, and she has a partner who she's met quite late in life, Bob, who's similar age to her, and he is he's the IT guy at the school.
Yeah.
But he is so much more than that. He's so much more than that. He's a Bowie obsessive. You see, I don't want to preempt your questions, but people say, oh, were you in the book? Which characters are you? And you know, I think every author, well, you will know this, plunders aspects of their own personality to
Yeah.
create different characters.
Yeah, I
So
find
Bob's Bowie obsession is kind of from me, I think. I'm not quite as obsessed as him. You know, I've never been tempted to you know, don the lightning stripe on my face. But I think Bob might have been, you know.
I've done that.
Yeah.
I've gone to friends' birthdays like with that.
No,
I've done the
I
lightning
haven't
stroke.
done that.
Yeah,
I haven't
I've
done
done it
that.
enough times that I can do it pretty flawlessly first attempts now.
Oh, very
It's
good.
the only makeup I can do. I lost all the other talents at uni. So yeah, Bob.
Quite fancied the spray across the eyes, you know, from Blade Runner, but I've never done that
Oh
either.
yeah, that could be cool actually. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe you should like cosplay Bob at some point when you take this to a convention.
More me as Bob. Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
why not?
there is something a bit there's a no, I'm not gonna spoil it for him, but Bob has a piece of replica Bowie clothing,
Error.
which he dons in a couple of the books, which I think is quite comic. But yeah, you'd have to read the book really.
It's not Jareth's codpiece, is it?
No.
All
No,
right.
it's
Okay.
not.
All right. That's the difference between us as writers. That's where immediately I would go. When you like Bowie memorabilia, I was like, right, codpiece. I know it.
No,
Now,
nor
no
is it
one. I know.
Halloween Jack iPad neither, you know.
I know what my listeners want. If I don't mention cod pieces once per episode, the amount of people that unfollow, it's like a mass exodus. I get hate mail and everything. They're like, there's no cod pieces in this one. I'm out. So yeah. Anyway, to go off on a massive tangent away from cod pieces, we've covered what inspired the story. I'm wondering, because of the topic at hand, what was the most difficult scene to write? Or was it an unexpected scene? Was it more like technically complicated? Or was there one which was sort of thematically difficult to tackle?
I think I was most emotional writing the end of book one. I
Okay.
don't want to spoil it, but what I would say is it's a very high stakes scene, and yeah, that was tricky. And I remember having to read it out loud to people after I'd had a good cry, you know. So yeah, that I think that was probably the hardest to write emotionally.
It's a good sign if the hardest scene is near the end, or the end in this case. That's a good sign. Yeah, definitely don't spoil that. Because, oh, while we're on the topic, people can actually get the book for free, can't they, soon?
They can get it for 99p or 99 cents. Yeah, so
99p,
I'm
yes,
doing a
they
massive
can.
price slash. Yeah.
And they can get For Those About to Rock for free.
That's right. You can always get For Those About to Rock for free just by signing up on my website. So, yeah, you sign up, you get the book for free. And then if you don't want to stay on my mailing list, you can immediately unsubscribe and that actually works. So,
Yeah.
but most people do stay on because I send out all sorts of other snippets and,
Yeah, because you're
yeah.
fun. I do the same thing with mine. It's a good way to do it. I really appreciate it when authors do that. So it's like you've got a mailing list that you have to sign up to get a free book, but you don't have to stay on it forever.
Exactly.
It's a lot better than marketing newsletters, whereas you give them your email address. That's it. You're theirs for life now. You have to get a new email address, you have to get a new name, wear a fake mustache. They still find you. They're like, do you want my services 10 years after the fact?
Yeah.
But yeah,
You don't really want spam complaints because it starts interfering with your emails being delivered anyway.
yeah. I mean, I've had a look at like one or two of yours, so I know they're good anyway. I've seen like some older. Actually, it might have just been your blog because I've not signed up yet. I should do. I feel naughty saying that on the podcast, but
How
I'll
very
admit to it.
dare
I've
you?
not signed up yet, and I'm going to sign up. I would sign up right now, but I know if I close this window, Zoom will crash. But I'll
Okay, well, it's
sign
very
up
easy.
immediately after the podcast.
It's on the front page of the website, but I didn't do a pop-up window. I know most people have a pop-up window, but they really
Nah,
annoy me. And now I'm
yeah.
thinking maybe I do need to go down that route. But
No, they switched me off because I saw it on the website and I thought, oh, a newsletter. And it was like a treat. Whereas if it was a pop-up, I'd go, oh, Christ, a newsletter. It's a different thing. It's like a different psychological thing. I
That
mean,
was where I was coming from too.
I've done pop-ups in person. Like when I did Comic Con, I actually said to one person, I'll do a silly dance if you buy my book. And guess what? I did a silly dance. It was worth it. So like just doing that kind of, I think that kind of stuff's fine in person. But yeah, on the internet, you want to be like chilled out. You don't want to be bothered by that sort of stuff. You want to be left well alone. So it's 99 pence on the 21st of June. And how long does that last? It's 3 or 4 days, isn't it?
Yeah, it will just be for about just for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, we'll say 3 days because
We'll say 3 days.
some people are in weird time zones where at the end of their 3 days it'll be long past the end of our 3 days,
Yeah, sure.
because my American audience lives outside of time and space, which is good to know. Any exciting news about the book? I know there's exciting news. I don't know if you're allowed to spoil the exciting news, but I thought I'd ask anyway. And if you're not allowed to spoil it, you can just make something up. Have we got any
Okay, what?
exciting news?
Oh, there's some. Yeah, so the exciting news is that it has been optioned for a repeatable television series. And I've been working with the production company on making that happen. So I think that's pretty exciting.
That is quite exciting, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up. I didn't know whether you were allowed to talk about it or not, but I thought I'm going to try and wheedle it out of you in the podcast because you're very humble about it. It's an amazing thing. It's so cool.
It is really cool, but what I would say is a lot of books are optioned, and
Yeah.
most of them never make it to the screen. I met someone at an event, and he said, "Oh yeah, one of my books was optioned for a pound by some Hollywood production company, and all that happens is they tie up the rights for 3 years and then go, nah, can't be bothered." So what's nice about mine is it is in active development, and I've
Yeah.
been working with them, and I've got. The way they work is they really like the author to continue to bring something to the screen adaptation.
Yeah.
So the company's called Free at Last Television, and they're working on a lot of developing a lot of stuff at the moment. If you went and had a look at their website, Free at Last TV, you would see the range of stuff that they're doing. But their most famous screen adaptation so far. Is Cozy Crime. It's the Agatha Raisin series, and recently they made one of those behind the scenes shows called Agatha Land.
Yeah.
And what was really nice about it was that you see the author being interviewed and saying, "Oh well, I optioned the books before and it was crap, but what I love about these guys is I've been on set, and even where they've written new stuff, it's really in keeping with what I want to do with my characters." So I've been kind of involved in some of that with them and their writing team, and it's been such fun so far. So obviously I'm really hoping that it continues to move forward. I've absolutely no reason to believe that it won't. It's really exciting, but I'm enjoying the process so much. It's fantastic. And the
It's
thought that my characters, will make it into people's homes where, they will be able to share their joy and tense moments, and all the stuff that's going on in that universe is something that I'm very much looking forward to.
yeah, well, congratulations. It's much deserved, especially for a book like this. I can see why it would be optioned for TV, you know. There's relatable characters. There's a topic which is always going to be pertinent to people. It's always going to be important. It's well written, and we've got Bob. So yeah.
And it's very visual. I grew up in front of the telly. My parents had an ice cream shop and they were always busy, and I loved television. And if I'd known how to make it go straight to screen, I would probably have done that. But I had no idea how that world works. So I thought, well, I'll get the story down and out there. And I'm so glad I did, because it came out 3 years ago, long before people were talking about AI in global media the way they are now. And the issues kind of keep cycling through. And I'm just glad that I'm out there with my original content early, so that I can kind of put a line in the sand.
Yeah, it's you got there just at the right time, and it's really interesting because I mean I can relate to that as a writer as well. I remember the first things I wrote when I was a kid, I wanted them to be on TV, and I realized, I wasn't a rich kid. I didn't have the budget to do that. And I thought, what do I have? I have a pen and a notepad. And then after a few weeks of not speaking to the outside world, I'd written a novel. And I thought, right, I'll do something with this. And now it's like I'm at the point now where obviously my book's not selling loads and loads of copies. It's doing all right. But there is even right at the beginning, when you're not selling loads of copies, you still get people. And I know you've got this, but I had people say, oh, this should be on Netflix, this should be on TV. And it's just really amazing because I know that people have sent you that message and they've said that to you. And then you've been able to go back and go, well, you wouldn't guess what had just happened. No, it's just amazing that your readers can say, oh, well, Nicola, you should put this on TV. And you can go, actually, give it a year or two or three, and it'll be there. And that's amazing.
Yeah,
I
and it
just.
is nice when people say, when you should maybe, have you thought about, even people who haven't read it, have you thought about trying to get it on television? I go, well, actually, it's already in development.
Yeah, because like the
But
synopsis is
cool.
really good. I'm not going to read the synopsis on Amazon because, well, I have a tactic, and that's I want people to go and check it out on Amazon. So I'm not going to read the synopsis now. But it's really good. Like even just reading the synopsis for me, I thought, yeah, this is going to be really good on TV. If I didn't already know that it was going to be on TV, I would be thinking, yeah, this should be on TV because you can see it. There's a lot of books that work as books and just work as books, and that doesn't make them any less good. They work very well as books. They don't necessarily translate over to TV, but I can tell from your one straight away the concept's immediately translatable to television. I'm glad that it's a repeatable series as well because I thought, a lot of the way people go with stuff now with books is they'll try and turn it into a short film or a movie. And from what I know about this book, it would really benefit from being a repeatable TV series. And I'm really glad you get to work with Free at Last TV and actually have an input into the process as well. That is increasingly rare in this landscape, and it sounds like a really good company.
I'm really pleased. I mean, I went to see William Gibson speak about must have been the beginning of 2020, when my book had just come out, and I asked him then about the screen adaptation of The Peripheral, and he was kind of, yeah, well, my stuff's been optioned before, and but there's a nice team behind it, and I'm quite and apparently Lisa Joy, who is involved in Westworld, she and one of the Nolan brothers, I can never remember which one, did Westworld, and so she had been offered the rights for The Peripheral from someone else who'd bought it and didn't have the time to do something with it. So he said, oh, I've been to the writer's room, and it seems quite, they seem to have quite a good team of people there. And I've really enjoyed the screen adaptation that's come out the other end, but I know other people who haven't read the books who found it confusing. So I don't know.
Fair enough. Well, I'm sure yours is going to go really well. It sounds great that you're allowed to actually have an input as well, because obviously you know the characters better than anybody else, and you always will do.
Yeah, but it's such fun being with people who also know your characters really well. And
Yeah,
that's
that must be
it's really
surreal.
gratifying.
Yeah. So if you were going to dress up as a this is the last question now. If you were going to dress up as a character for Comic Con, to disguise yourself, you've got thousands of fans queuing up to buy your book. You somehow sneak into the queue. Which character would you be disguised as?
That's difficult. You see, when I was 15, I did go to a party as Wonder Woman, and I really quite liked that. But I think some years later, that probably wouldn't work so well. Oh, that's a really hard question. Ooh, I don't know. I'm going to go with Wonder Woman in a sort of fantasy world.
Fair enough. Wonder Woman works.
Nothing like, I think I'd have a really tough job pulling it off. But hey, this is a
Right.
completely fictitious, fictitious. Yeah, it's made up, isn't it? So that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought about I would sneak into my own book signings. Like, it's weird when you were saying before about people seeing bits of you in your characters. I've had that with Lax Morales, who's a time traveling murderous crab. So I've just like I didn't really know how to interpret that. Somebody's like, "Oh, you're sort of like Lax Morales." I was like, "He kills a lot of people." it was a weird thing. I suppose he does just wear suits and like talks about simulation theory all the time. Maybe that's the part that they picked up on, and less the being a time traveling crap. I'm wondering what your website is. I already know what your website is. This is just good for the recording. Tell me a bit more about your website.
So,
And where we can find your stuff.
NicolaRossi.com is the website. And you can find my stuff. Well, if you're an ebook person, you can get the books on Amazon, Kobo, Barnes and Noble, Google Play, Apple. So it's downloadable on all platforms
Okay.
globally. Yeah, you can order if you've got a really enlightened local bookshop that stocks it, you can buy it there. But it's
I
also
like
to
that.
order from any bookshop. So it's on a platform that actually bookshops prefer to order from other than Amazon. So and you can get the paperback anywhere in the world as well. And people like the physical books because the covers are quite exciting.
They're really nice. So the kind of covers that I display, to be honest.
Yeah, and
There's a few books. Yeah, you've got them on display.
Sorry, no, I've got I have a few readers who have ordered the original artwork from the artist. So yeah, Tim Doyle on Nakatomi.com has did the illustrations for me, and he has artwork prints. So if anyone wanted one of those, you could order those from Tim. And if you're in the States, you won't have to pay the horrendous shipping we have to pay to get them here. I get freebies because I'm a client, but
Yeah.
I do have readers in this country who have had the prints imported, which is really sweet, and send me pictures of them in their houses.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Right. So, to anybody listening, we've been speaking to Nicola Rossi. Thank you, Nicola, the author of Rockstar Ending. And if you want to check it out, you check out my Substack, where there'll be the free prequel for Those About to Rock, which you can get hold of. And you can get Rockstar Ending for 99 pence from right now up until in about 72 hours. So you want to hurry on that one. Thank you, Nicola. Is there anything else you'd like to add at the end, or?
No, just thank you for having me on the show.
No, I really enjoyed it. Obviously, I've been waiting to talk to you on the show for about 6 months because you're so busy and so cool. Got so much going on with the TV. It's amazing. Obviously, I was drawn in by the book cover with the David Bowie lightning bolt on because I'm a simple creature. And then I realized that the book's got like a dark sci-fi edge to it. And I thought I really want to speak to the author of this. Sort of tracked you down on social media
Great.
and like eventually got to talk to you. It's really great. It's great for me. I'm just showing off now. I'm like, oh, I've talked to Nicola Rossi. It's a great thing. I'm really excited for the TV show, and I'm going to get the book as soon as I can. Actually, if I get it soon, I could read it when I go to Edinburgh because I'm going to go and try and meet even more book people in Edinburgh in a few weeks. I need a book for the travel because I want a new book because I'm selling all of my old ones anyway. Yeah, so there's going to be a guest story on the Substack right now. So if you're listening to this soon, you won't be listening to it because it's about to end in 10 seconds. I hope you can tell because this is, look, it's winding down. podcast is winding slowly down, and soon you can read a short story. In fact, the podcast might end quite suddenly, and then you can read the story by Nicola almost straight away. It could end right now.